what we're given comes from God. It's important that we handle it well, and we're working on that weekly as we talk with Brad Graber, our financial guy. He is with Investing in Truth, the website, investingintruth.com. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Ray is here, too.
Got the special treat with Ray on the line, huh?
Hey, Brad, glad you're with us. We're going to be talking about debt today, and I don't know all the figures, you probably do, but that is a major issue, isn't it, with everybody, that there's so much consumer debt?
Well, we can look at it a couple different ways. We like to talk about the national debt and the problem we have there, but as soon as we look under the hood and get to the personal level, we don't find anything much better on that level either. So, yeah, debt is a huge problem. And something we obviously need to know what Scripture tells us about it and be able to handle it from a biblical perspective.
Well, Brad, we know there are a lot of different reasons that people will go into debt. And you know, we talked last week about building an emergency fund, and maybe something pops up that exceeds what we have in our emergency fund, so now we're looking at debt. But does God forbid debt?
Well, fortunately, God doesn't categorically forbid debt. So, before I get to that point, let me just give a quick little working definition of debt so we're kind of all on the same page here. And the debt the definition I like to use for debt is simply that debt is a process of getting something now by agreeing to pay for it later. And one of the reasons I like that definition, aside from just being simple, is that it speaks specifically to the relationship of time and debt. And Scripture continues to tell us over and over that we're not to boast about tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Only God is in charge of tomorrow. So I think it's important to realize how much of a commitment we're making with tomorrow when we borrow money today, because we're making that commitment and we have to pay it back. So is that going to commit our time so that we're having to work additional hours to be able to pay it off? Does it really bind our hands in a lot of different ways that commits our future time and can potentially take away from our ministry and our family?
Brad, getting into debt like we are right now seems to be something fairly new with a generation. It's not too many generations back that it was really kind of a cash society. Where did it turn, and is it just because it's so easy now?
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down to, you know, you go back in the 50s, I think, was when the first credit card came out. So before then, we just didn't have that easy availability. And with technology, it's just made it so much easier to be able to borrow money and have that automatic access to the borrowed credit and even having a line of credit that we can borrow against right away. It's just gotten so easy, and it's gotten so acceptable. There used to be a big stigma went along with debt, that if you had debt, that something must be wrong. But today, it's not even frowned upon. You know, a lot of us will even use a credit card just to go pay our bills because it's easier than carrying around cash. So whether it's debit cards or credit cards, spending is easy with just the swipe of a card, and there's really, we don't think twice about it. And it's just an easy way to get what we want, and we've certainly lost our patience as a society as well. When we see something, we want to get it. A lot of times it's, how can I get that? And even if that involves debt, well, we'll worry about paying that back tomorrow.
So what do you tell couples or individuals that you work with of what is feasible debt? I mean, house and maybe car might be necessary, and what's not? And how do you get them to rethink this, I need it right now?
Well, yeah, a lot of that, well, with any debt, we have to remember that what Scripture tells us about it, that the borrower is servant to the lender. That relationship is always going to be there. So some people like to talk about, oh, well, this is good debt, this is bad debt. Well, all debt brings a degree of servitude with it. So we have to always evaluate how much risk are we taking when we borrow money, and is there another way we can do this? So I can think of a couple examples where borrowing is actually a good thing. And let's say we are in dire need of an urgent medical procedure, and we don't have the money to pay for it. Well, being able to borrow money at that moment is not necessarily a bad thing because we need that. And things like houses, so being able to buy a house, which is such a large purchase, without having to wait 10, 15 years to be able to save up for it, is not necessarily a bad thing either. So if we're going to evaluate how much risk we're taking on with debt, one of the big things is, how easily can I unwind this debt and get back out of it? Because, again, I'm a servant to whoever I borrowed the money from. So let's say it is a house. Well, as long as we're putting down a decent down payment and we think we can sell that house and pay back the debt, then our risk is not huge because we actually have an asset to go back against it. If we're going out and buying a car and the car depreciates as soon as we drive off the lot and we can't sell that car to pay off the debt, obviously we just took on a lot more risk. And even worse, we go buy furniture or go buy clothes or even groceries on debt. Those things are basically getting consumed and there's really not much resale value. So what we typically find in that situation is we're still paying on the debt after the item is either gone or basically it's wore out and we don't have anything of value there either. So those are obviously much more dangerous forms of debt than the ones where we have something that we can easily get rid of and make the debt go away.
Now, you talk about also, Brad, you know, on your website, investingintruth.com, what you simply refer to as sinful debt. Now, we've looked at debt from the borrower and the lender's perspective and what God's Word has to say about that. And there are scriptures in there that will address both sides. But what do you mean exactly by sinful debt?
Yeah, so yeah, I just gave a couple examples where we're using debt because we basically need to. We have that immediate need, so like that urgent medical expense, or even in the case of a house, we can seek counsel, and Scripture isn't telling us that it's a sin just because you borrow. We have to look a little bit deeper and see why are we borrowing. So if you have debt, I always like the exercise of looking back on why did we get that debt, and what was our reason that we went into debt, and then we start examining, was it actually sinful behavior that led us into that debt? So a couple examples is, was it greed? Was it impatience? Was it coveting? Or was it even a lack of faith in God's ability to provide for us that caused us to go out and borrow that money? So, you know, unfortunately, when we look at lists of debts with people that come into my office, oftentimes we can tie it back to, you know what, I just wanted those things and I didn't actually have the money at that point, but I wanted them anyway, so I went out and borrowed the money and got them. And one way I like to describe debt in those situations is we're really borrowing money to live a lie, because if we didn't have the money to go buy those things and to fund that level of lifestyle, we decided that it's better for basically the show or the enjoyment of living that lifestyle, it's better to actually go borrow the money and be able to have those things than it is to live within our own means. And most of the time, there's a lot of sinful heart issues behind those kind of decisions.
You know, Brad, I think you hit on something in your explanation, that we don't give God time to fulfill a need that we have. True story, there was somebody I knew that they had washing machine. Actually, I think it was the dryer that broke. And they went out and purchased one, which isn't a bad thing. But just a few days later, somebody came up and said, hey, I've got this dryer that, you know, I need to give somebody. And this particular person was a pastor. And immediately he was convicted in his mind. He said, if I would have taken time to pray and to be patient in this situation, I wouldn't have had to put money out for a new dryer. I would have gotten a dryer. And so I'm thinking in this society, we tend to not want to give God time to even meet our needs, like maybe in other countries.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and you know, it's one of those things too. And I could share stories to fill up the rest of the hour, but of some very similar situations. But it's one of the reasons why I highly stress a process where, and maybe we'll get into this next week, where we don't go into debt without talking to counsel first. So let's find our wise biblical counsel, and let's talk to them and see if they agree that taking on debt is the best course of action and that they don't see another way around it. And this is where the church really shines, I believe. So when we have somebody in the church that has a need, if we have the ability to take that need to the church, how many times can somebody else meet the need or at least make connections that help the person do it in a much less expensive way than they would have done it on their own? And that person didn't even see that as a possible channel, but when the church works together, we can help provide for each other, help each other be able to find the solutions for less money, and hopefully even without borrowing at all.
Oh, Brad, thank you. I appreciate the time. I'm going to just kind of throw you a curve here real quick because I can, and I know you've got the answer. We're in our share mode right now, and one of the ways that people can give sometimes larger gifts is appreciated gifts. The stock market has been doing well. People may have some stocks that are at a good price right now. And here at Moody Radio, people can gift a stock. Would you just take about a minute or so and explain how that is beneficial to be able to gift the stock versus selling the stock and giving the gift?
Absolutely. And this is one of my favorite strategies as an investment guy, because a lot of us do, you know, we end up building up these gains inside of our account, and we hate to sell the stock or sell the mutual fund because it's going to generate a taxable gain. Well, one of the best things we can do is, instead of giving cash, we can direct that stock to be given to the nonprofit, so in this case, Moody Radio, and Moody Radio receives the stock. The person still gets the full deduction for the value of the stock that was given. Moody Radio receives it with the gain still in it, but can sell it because they're a nonprofit and not have to pay any taxes on it. So, for instance, if you have a stock that you paid $500 for, it's now worth $1,000. If you sell it, you have $500 worth of gain that you're going to have to pay taxes on. If instead you give that $1,000 stock to Moody Radio, Moody can sell it and keep all $1,000 and not have to pay any taxes on the gain. From the donor perspective, they still gave a gift of $1,000, got the tax deduction for the full $1,000 that they gave. And I do have to caveat that by saying that you have to hold the stock for at least a year before you give it. So that's one of the little details there I can't ignore. But then take the $1,000 that you would have given to Moody Radio and instead go back and put that in your investment account. So your investment account is still at the same place as well, but now has less gain if you ever need to get money back out of it, because your $1,000 now, if you buy something else with it, you can even buy the exact same stock you gave. So there's no change other than that there's less taxes that will be due down the road from your investment portfolio.
And it's a great benefit for Moody Radio. And if that intrigues you, you can call me today during regular business hours and be glad to help you out. And we do have people that do gift stock, especially during share. And it's a great way to give a larger gift if you want to. And do so and take advantage of some wonderful tax breaks that you wouldn't regulate. Brad, thank you for your time. Looking forward to have you with us next week during share a couple of times as well.
Looking forward to it as well.